Would you rather die than betray your emperor?
A second voice said, This is not a trick question. One Big River blinked and then turned his gaze downwards. An apparition in a squeaky-wheeled wheelchair had a very large sword pointing at exactly that inconvenient place where his upper armour didn't quite meet his lower armour. A third voice said, I should add that the last 29 people who answered wrong are dried shredded fish. Dead. A fourth voice said, And we're not eunuchs. One Big River rumbled with the effort of thought.
I think I rather live, he said.
A man with diamonds where his teeth should have been gave him a comradely pat on the shoulder. Good man, he said. Join the horde. We could use a man like you, maybe as a siege weapon.
Who you? He said.
This is Genghis Cohen, said Mr. Savaloy, doer of mighty deeds, slayer of dragons, ravager of cities. He once bought an apple. No one laughed. Mr. Savaloy had found that the horde had no concept whatsoever of sarcasm. Probably no one had ever tried it on them. One Big River had been raised to do what he was told. Everyone had told him what to do all through his life. He fell in behind the man with diamond teeth because he was the sort of man you followed when he said follow.
But, you know, there are tens of thousands of men who would die rather than betray their emperor,
whispered Six Beneficent Winds as they filed through the corridors.
Well, I hope so.
Some of them will be on guard around the Forbidden City. We've avoided them, but they're still here. We have to deal with them eventually.
Oh, good, said Cohen.
Bad, said Mr. Savaloy. That business with the ninjas was just high spirits.
High spirits, murmured Six Beneficent Winds.
But you don't want a big fight out in the open. It'll get messy. Cohen walked over to the nearest wall, which had a gorgeous pattern of peacocks, and took out his knife.
Paper, he said. Bloody paper. Paper walls.
He poked his head through. There was a shrill whimper.
Oh, sorry, ma'am.
Official wall inspection. He extracted his head, grinning.
But you can't go through walls, said Six Beneficent Winds.
Why not?
Well, they're the walls. What would happen if everyone walked through the walls? What do you think doors are for?
I think they're for other people, said Cohen. Which way's that throne room?
What?
Said Mad Hamish.
This is lateral thinking, explained Mr. Savaloy as they followed him. Genghis is quite good at a certain kind of lateral thinking.
What a lateral?
It's a kind of muscle, I believe.
Thinking with your muscles. Yes, I see, said Six Beneficent Winds.
Rincewind sidled into a space between the wall and a statue of a rather jolly dog with its tongue hanging out.
What now?
Said Butterfly.
How big's the Red Army?
We number many thousands, said Butterfly defiantly.
In Hung Hung?
Oh, no. There is a cadre in every city.
You know that, do you? You've met them?
That would be dangerous. Only Two Fire Herb knows how to contact them.
Fancy that. Well, do you know what I think? I think someone wants a revolution. And you're all so damn respectful and polite he's having his work cut out trying to organise one. But once you've got rebels, you can do anything.
That can't be true.
The rebels in other cities, they do great revolutionary deeds, do they?
We hear reports all the time.
From our friend Herb.
Butterfly frowned.
Yes.
You're thinking, aren't you? Said Rincewind. The old brain cells are finally banging together, yes? Good. Have I convinced you?
I don't know.
Now, let's go back.
No. Now I've got to find out if what you're suggesting is true.
Dying to find out, eh? Good grief, you people make me so angry. Look, watch this.
Rincewind strode to the end of the corridor. There was a pair of wide doors, flanked by a pair of jade dragons. He flung them back. The room inside was low-ceilinged but large. In the centre, under a canopy, was a